In our text this evening, we see a great answer to a great question. The greatest question that anyone can ever ask is this: how shall man be just with God? Well, to those who are not saved, and they are bearing their own sin, and therefore, as the Bible states, for the wages of sin is death, in the text before us this morning, we see the great answer that God's word gives us in answering this question: how shall man be just with God? The Apostle Paul has before declared in more general terms that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. But in our text, he aims more precisely on the subject and goes even deeper, informing us that in order for sinful man to be reconciled to an offended God, a double transfer had to be made. What is this double transfer that happened on the cross when our sins were placed on Christ and he imputed to us righteousness? The first is the imputation of our sins to Christ, that they might be punished in him. And the second, the imputation of Christ's righteousness to us. This doctrine of double imputation is the very heart of the gospel. To those who get saved, this is the inner workings of the Lord himself when he died, that our sins were placed on him, and therefore we were pronounced justified before God through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. This explains what transaction actually took place when Christ died on the cross. So therefore this morning, I want to preach to you on the heart of the gospel, the doctrine of double imputation. Firstly, then, let us consider the imputation of our sins to Christ. What does it mean when our sins are transferred to Christ? What does it mean when our sins were placed upon him? Well, it says here, Christ, who was made sin for us. Well, what does that mean? In our text, we can read it as God made him to be sin for us. Christ was made sin in order that we might be made righteous in him. God did it with purpose. This was God's very purpose. And notice that word, that. If we see that word, that, that's going to proclaim purpose. And as we see here, it signifies purpose. It was God's very purpose to make Christ a sin offering for us. The atonement of Jesus Christ could not fail. This atonement of the shedding of blood and the covering for sin was not a failure. Christ, as he appeared in the likeness of sinful flesh, was made a sacrifice for sin in order to make expiation and atonement for it. This points to both sin and offering. As is stated in Romans 8, verse 3, I'll just read it to you here. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He was made sin by imputation, which describes the act of our sin being transferred on Christ and God visiting the sins of the believers that were placed on Christ and God punishing the sins of all his people in Christ. Christ knew no sin. But here we see the transfer that was made, that Christ bear our sins. Sin was laid upon him and placed to his account. and therefore inflicted by the justice of God for bearing our sin. And he was paying the price for our iniquity, that our sin, which was transferred on him, was placed on his account. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God sparing not his own son. And here we know that in this present world, there are heretics today that will teach that Christ was just a man, and that Christ was a sinner like every other man. Well, I want to preach to you tonight and make it very clear and to emphasize the point, Christ, who knew no sin, Christ was not a sinner. I want to be very clear and proclaim to you that Christ was not a sinner, and neither was he able to sin. He was perfect. If Christ was a man, then if Christ was just a man, then he would be a sinner like the rest. But to the rest of us, as scripture says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. No, but not Christ, you see. Christ, who knew no sin, although he took the nature of the flesh, he was truly man. I want to emphasize that point to you tonight. Christ hungered. He thirsted. He wept. He was truly man, but he was also truly God. He was God in the flesh. He was the God-man. And I want you to understand that very carefully. He did not partake in the corruption of the flesh. Before his incarnation and after, he is absolutely holy, for he is declared the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah said, can you? So therefore he was born. He was born without spot of sin to make us clean from all sin. You see, everything about Jesus Christ was good. He could not do evil. His friends who lived with him for 3 years compared him to a lamb without spot and blemish. They often quoted the scriptures about him. He did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. In other words, he spoke utterly, sincerely, in all what he said. And in Luke chapter 23 verse 4, I want to prove to you tonight, if you can turn to Luke chapter 23 verse 4, Pilate proclaims Christ's innocence. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. The dying thief alongside him said that Jesus had done nothing wrong. The centurion who was superintending the execution said that surely, surely he was a righteous man. The Son of God. Judas Iscariot. In Matthew chapter 27 verse 4. Saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. My Lord and my Savior was the spotless Lamb of God. Paul, preaching in the Acts, said to his hearers that in Jesus there was nothing found worthy of death. The complete, utter innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even Christ himself asked those who knew him best if any of them could point out anything he'd done wrong. And his father, who knew everything about him, inwardly and outwardly, said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, you're saying, why is this important tonight? Christ's sinless perfection. We have the Jehovah's Witness who deny the deity of Christ to say that he was just a man. If he was just a man, then he couldn't atone for sin. This is why it's very important to know Christ as the God-man. Let me tell you this. This was absolutely necessary in order to fulfill the demands of the law through his perfect obedience. That Christ was able to keep the law, the very thing that sinful man is not able to do. The only imputation that the natural man ever receives is from man, is the iniquity that is transferred down from generation to generation. The only thing that we were ever good at was sin. So therefore we need the righteousness of Christ imputed unto us. Therefore, let us look at the imputation of Christ's righteousness to us. Here as it reads, it is essential for our justification. It is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ and him alone. It is not by works. It is nothing we did. The Church of Rome in its error has confounded holy living with justification. They've made a mess of justification with sanctification, teaching salvation by works. But you see here the word of the living God, it clearly teaches that it is Christ who imputes righteousness to those that believe in him. It is in Christ alone that even as it was said in the scriptures, that our best work coming to salvation is our worst work when coming to salvation. That our best work is like, as the scripture says, as filthy rags when coming to salvation. Our greatest work is our worst work. And here it is taught throughout the scriptures. And Paul preaches it. And in Romans chapter 4 verse 3, it reads here, for what saith the scriptures? That Abraham believed God. And it was counted. And if you see that word there, counted, you can put imputed unto him for righteousness. For Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Abraham was not justified by works. And you see here, sinful man in this corrupt world is incapable of fulfilling perfectly the law of God. No natural man can keep the law of God. No man can keep the law of God. For as we read, we're all born in sin. And the inclination towards to do evil rather than good. But you see, Christ was able to fulfill the law. And here, and man was unable to save himself. Man cannot generate his own righteousness. So therefore, a perfect righteousness was provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. What does propitiation mean? It is a sacrifice to appease divine wrath. Through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. A righteousness, therefore, was provided for him. And this, my friends, is 100% adequate. The righteousness of Christ is not a failing grace. It is 100% adequate to all the demands of God's holy law. Even the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who by his own obedience unto death, he was obedient right unto death, not only made an end for sin and reconciliation for iniquity, but brought in also everlasting righteousness, which is unto all and upon all them that believe in him. You see here, this is the text here, what Paul is saying. It is on this account and through this great exchange by the imputation of Christ's righteousness imputed unto us, our sin transferred on him. And therefore Christ transfers to us and imputes unto us his righteousness. Therefore we stand before God, justified by faith in the blood of Christ. And here unto us therefore he is called the Lord, our righteousness. For he has made righteousness unto us. We are made, as our text says, the righteousness of God in him. And here as we read, this is an absolute essential. It is an essential to be reconciled to God. Paul makes it very clear to be reconciled to God. The unbelievers of this earth are at war with God. You don't have to go far to see that there is an enmity between sinful man and God. It is as man shakes his hand at God and God shakes his hand at man. And just like Job said, for who hath gone against God and won? But my friend Paul is preaching, be ye reconciled to God. And here in Romans 5 verse 10, for if then when we were made enemies. That's what he's talking about. For if when we were made enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Let us rejoice this evening that we're saved. Rejoice not because of the circumstances of life. Rejoice not because of material gain, but rejoice because you're blood bought. That you can say that I'm on my way to heaven because of this righteousness that Christ imputed unto me. Oh, rejoice because ye are reconciled to God. Reconciled people. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And again, we see in 2 Corinthians, as we read in 5 verse 18, notice what it says here. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. When you are reconciled, you are no longer under the divine wrath of God. That we as a saved people are no longer under the wrath, but are now under his love. The Lord loves his people, and that we are justified by the blood, and no longer at war with God, no longer under the divine wrath. And you see, the people of God now have peace with God. To have reconciliation with God is to have peace with God. And there is peace to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul preached it. Paul preached the very heart of the gospel. The imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And our sin transferred to him. And therefore Christ imputes his righteousness to us. Full atonement. Full atonement has been made. When Christ reconciles his people to God. Through his work on the very cross. On the very cross. It was Christ alone and his work. Not our works mixed with Christ. But it was Christ and him alone on Calvary. And with his shedding blood, we were made justified before God. Full atonement has been made, but many are on the broad road heading for destruction. Many do not take into account that how am I to be just before God? Because God does not recognize anything except the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be the best lawyer. You might have the best argument. You might be able to trick the preacher. You might be able to go on in this world and put on an act. But my friend, when Amos preached, prepare to meet thy God, God sees your heart. For he is the God-man. And all that God accepts is his Son and the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God has been made sin. We answered our question. He was made sin by taking account our sin. That our sin was transferred upon him who knew no sin, who was perfect, the spotless Lamb of God. And our sin was transferred to him. But still, in this perishing world, men die without hope and without God. The full gospel has been preached, but many still reject it. So I plead with you this morning that if you are not saved, do not refuse. Do not harden your heart. Not to reject. Do not live in speculation. So therefore, in all things, we must recognize that our God is a sin-hating God. And so therefore, as Paul preached, be ye reconciled to God. To bring all this together in our conclusion for tonight, it is the duty of every sinner that walks upon this earth to be justified before God. So the Bible says that the law is written in their hearts, that they know that there is a God. This is what the grace of God teaches us. And it is a most important end with our union with Christ. Just as Paul preached, be ye reconciled to God. If you are not reconciled, then you are under the wrath of God. You are under his wrath, and you're not under peace. Make peace with God and receive the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness which God imputes is and forever will be a righteousness without works. Truly the grace of God, and Paul makes it very clear. We are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption of Christ Jesus. If you leave this place rejecting Christ, then this world, you'll see that those who are rejecting of Christ, that if they are to find themselves with flames around about them, my friend, the sinner that goes to hell, the only thing that they can say is, righteous is thy judgment, O God. Righteous is thy judgment, O God. But praise God Almighty for his Son and his mighty power to save. The Lord, our righteousness. The old prophets preached of the imputed righteousness of Christ. Here we see it again in our text. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We often sing a hymn in Reformed circles by Robert Murray McShane called Jehovah Sit Kenya, which means the Lord our righteousness. And just as the hymn writer says, and I want to end with the words of the hymn writer. When free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fear shook me, I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety in self could I see. Jehovah said, can you, my Savior must be. My terrors all vanished before the sweet name. My guilty fears banished, with boldness I came. To drink at the fountain, life-giving and free. Jehovah said, can you, is all things to me. And may the Lord bless his message to us tonight, and perhaps we'll make a close with a hymn.
Let us bow our heads in prayer and ask the Lord's dismissal upon this evening's worship service. Our Father and our God, we bow our heads once again to Thee, that we are to come boldly to Thy throne of grace because of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank Thee, Lord, for the message tonight that He did bear our sin, that our sin was transferred on Him, who knew no sin, but was made sin for us. And Lord, we thank Thee for the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, that we are righteous before God on the marks of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we thank Thee, O Lord, that we are saved and rejoiced by Thy blood that was shed for us. And Lord, may it be a truth that never grows old. 'Tis old yet ever new. The blood without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Lord, we ask of Thee to give Thy blessing. Give Thy blessing this upcoming week, that Thou may be with the hearers. Be with them, O Lord, and grant them mercy. Dismiss us now in Thy blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen.